There were some people in here, I don't know if anybody was here to them.
Yes, I think they are.
They are, they're both here. Oh, here. They're coming back. Hey there.
Okay, sir, for the record, could you please state your name and your ABC number for us for the record?
Yes, sir. Rufus Edward Allen, and my DOC number is 043931.
Okay, sir, you're currently the liaison board of the executive premise. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting the hearing today. Can you hear me clearly, sir?
No, sir, I can't.
Is that any better? Mr. Allen?
Sir?
Can you hear me any better, sir?
Oh, I can hear you a little better now.
Okay, sir. Okay, so you can be for the Arizona Board of the Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today. You have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Mill, the Honorable Dr. C.T. White, who's our board chair, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, and sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'll be acting as your panel lead today. So you are appearing before this board for a absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. Is that what you recall, sir? Mr. Allen?
Yes, sir.
Is that what you recall that you're here for absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest?
Yes, sir.
You're serving a life to death, a life sentence for murder in the first degree. You first became parole eligible on June 9th of 2007, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I see that you haven't taken a lot of programming. It looks like it's been a minimal amount of programming. The last programming that looks like you took was domestic violence in January of 2016. Have you taken some other programming?
Yes, sir. I was taking programs at CCH in September and October and November out there at that program. I can't remember the exact name of it. I believe it's CCH.
Okay. So it says it here in your ending progress report, sir, that the family will help you with housing and financial responsibility. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So I did see some letters of support, previous letters of support from previous hearings from your family and friends, but I didn't see anything more recently that was in your file, but I do notice that you do have some family that's here in support.
Okay.
Okay. You haven't had no violations since 2004?
No, sir.
Looks like your last violation that you had in 2004 was for a disobeying an order, and then you had one, looked like in 2003 for riot, and the most of them looks like they were for a variety of different things that you've been there. But I do want to go over your releases that you actually had. Looks like you were first granted home arrest in 2007. And you were granted home arrest in November of 2007. Then it looks like in 2008 of August that you were granted a regular parole. You were granted home arrest, and then a year later it looks like you were granted a regular parole. And then it looks like after you got on regular parole, it looks like in about May of 2010, you were revoked for a positive test for THC, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and it looks like, you again, you had another employee to provide a urine test in December 2010. Because when the original one, it looks like the first one went to a positive for THC, that you actually were revoked, but you were reinstated or that they continued you on the parole, is that right? To get rid of
yes, sir.
And then it looks like a few months later you had a failure to provide a urine specimen and then you were revoked in December. Is that right? Or was it December 2010 and 13? Kind of.
Yes, sir.
So in 2013 you were revoked? Sir?
Yes, sir.
In 2013, we had the parole that was actually revoked, and then it looks like in June of 2017, you were granted home arrest.
Yes, sir.
And then it looks like on November of this year, your parole was revoked again for failure to follow your directives on your mandatory weekly itinerary. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's why they revoked it.
So let me ask you something, Mr. Allen, because you have been, this board at some point has provided you the freedom or paroled you either home arrest or regular parole or home arrest. And you originally, you know, were violated for a positive for a THC, which is marijuana. Failure to provide a urine specimen a couple of times. What is it that you're having a problem that while you're out, sir, you keep being violated? That's what I'm trying to understand. You have your freedom and then you are being violated.
Okay, on the failure to give a urine sample, what I did was I don't know how come the report doesn't say that, but every time I failed to give, I was at work. And then I would go right back the next day, or later on that day when my parole officer would call me, and I would give him a urine sample, and I was clean. On the marijuana, I did use the marijuana, and I really don't have a justified reason for it, other than just being foolish. But I haven't had a WA since all of that time. I've never missed a UA, and I've never had a dirty UA, and I've completed all the substance abuse, NA and AA. And also, when I was paroled September 5th, I was only out for 76 days, but every time they called me for a UA, I went, and I was always negative for any illegal substance.
Okay, so this recent revocation you had, we were revoked for failure to follow your directives. The mandatory weekly itinerary. I'm telling you right now, a little bit of issue, sir, is that you've been on home arrest and you've been on monitor before, is that right?
Yes.
So you know the importance of following the directives of your DO and making sure that you're going and coming exactly where you're supposed to go, is that right?
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
So why did you not follow it on this last time? Why did you take that risk?
Okay, first off, sir, on 11/19, when I went to the Kutztown Mall, I used the same practices that I always use going shopping. And I really didn't know that I was supposed to write down each individual store in Kutztown Mall. All I went to get was cleaning supplies to help me clean up at my residence. And I got a drinking mug. It was a thermal coffee mug. The lady at Walmart told me that they were out because everybody was buying up. It was, you know, it was wintertime. And then she asked me to go to Target. on my way to Target, I looked at some cups in a window right there at the sporting goods store, and I just stepped in. I was probably in there all of 45 seconds. The cashier told me that they don't keep thermal mugs here, and she told me the same thing that the lady at Walmart told me, and she told me to check in Target. So I went to Target, and they had maybe 5 thermal coffee mugs left. Took me all of 2 minutes to buy it. I bought the thermal coffee mug, and I went right back and got on the bus line and went right back to the halfway house. I've never left the halfway house until I was allowed, and I was always back before I had to be back. But like I said, even when my baby brother and his wife, Brennan Bolden and Teresa, when they would pick me up to go shopping, because we looking for deals, you know, we not that well off our money, so we would always check in Costco's first. And you know, in Christown Mall, you can go through Costco's and go all the way back to the back, with several stores on each side of the mall on your way to Walmart, and you can go right into Walmart down the hall from Costco's. So, I mean, I would have been eager to write down each store that I possibly would have went to. I just didn't understand that I needed to do it like that. So I would have never known that I had violated on Sunday. I would have never known that. And then on Monday, I do understand that I violated, and I admitted it to my parole officer and his supervisor, Mr. Scott Fleshman. But when I came, the whole thing was, I was juggling a colonoscopy and prostate surgery, and then at the same time, I was trying to get a job that would allow me to work. Common Ground was helping me with that, because I got growths coming out the center of my palms, and I was going to have them taken care of. That was part of the neurology and urology appointments that were scheduled for December and January of that year. But now, my parole officer, Mr. James Byrd, he had texted me Friday and told me, since I was going to be in the neighborhood anyway, to come by his office on Monday. He didn't say what time, but he said, come by the office on Monday, and because I need to see you. He said, but call first. So before I left the halfway house, I had already texted him. And, you know, we usually correspond through texting. And I texted him, but he didn't respond. So by now, it's like 45 minutes later. So the bus stopped right in front of the parole office. So I got off the bus, and as I'm walking down the sidewalk, I called him, but then he didn't answer the phone, and I couldn't leave voicemail. So I got back on the bus, because what I needed to do was, I was scheduled and approved to go to Common Ground. But he told me before, if I'm ever out on the go and I have a legitimate plan that I'm doing, places that I'm going, as long as it was legal and necessary, that he would change my itinerary. And he had already done that a few times. So, and I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm just trying to help you understand why I made the decisions that I made. But because I was used to that, I thought the first thing I was supposed to do, because I was approved to go to Common Ground that morning, but what I needed to do was go to 25th Street and Chambers at this photo place, because Common Ground was sending me on a job. It wouldn't have done me no good to go to Common Ground, because they had already texted me, the same as my parole officer, and told me to go to this job site. But my itinerary was already approved. That's why I texted my parole officer that morning, and I tried to call him, but he didn't pick up the phone, and I couldn't leave voicemail. But I also needed to get a copy from Rodriguez's car insurance. I needed to get a copy of the fact that I had car insurance, not only car insurance, but I didn't know at the time, but the municipal court building, they wanted me to ask Rodriguez Car Insurance to give me a specific letter telling me that my car insurance had not lapsed at that time so that I would be able to get a copy of my license. But what they gave me was, they gave me a thing saying that I had car insurance from September through October.
Okay, so Mr. Allen, let me stop you real quick. Okay, so where did you go to in the area near Central Avenue and Southern? What was there?
I couldn't understand that, I'm sorry.
What was in the area, Central and Southern?
That's Rodriguez's car insurance.
In the area of Central Avenue and Southern?
Yeah, that's Rodriguez's car insurance. It's like a half a block away from that McDonald's that's right there on the corner. They have an old yellow and green old car, like a 40 or 50 something, that's painted up real nice. It's set right out there in front of the store. I don't know if it's, I want to say it's because Central is right there, so I want to say maybe it's like Fourth Street and Southern. I know it's right off of Central and Southern.
Okay, so where did you go to in the area of Third Avenue in Washington?
That was the street that I took because the bus let me off on the corner right there, and then you have to walk to the, because the bus don't let you off in front of the municipal court building. That's where I was going. That's where I was taking that letter to.
Okay, so let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. Seeing no additional questions coming from the board, so you do have some supporters here. I'm going to hear from your supporters at this time. I think you have your brother-in-law. Did I have it right?
No.
We have Boomer Stuff.
Yes, sir. You want to come up here and just please state your name and present what information you want to present to the board?
Yes, my name is Abu Mustafa, and that's, you know, he's a brother of mine. I've been knowing him for a long time, a real long time. And I know he's made a complete transformation like he used from where he used to be. And I know that for a fact. And a lot of times when I wasn't working, I tried to make it my business to be able to be his transportation to take him where he needed to go. I took him myself personally one time to Rodriguez Insurance. They was giving him a runaround where they told him to come back and they was going to give him documentation that he had insurance. But when he went back, it was another story. I don't think I took him that time. And then I also took him to Common Ground. Common Ground, they found him a job at a photo place. So that day that he was supposed to go to Common Ground, they had told him to go to the photo place. And I was personally with him a couple of times when he had to change his itinerary. He did call the parole officer, and a lot of times the parole officer would adjust his itinerary. Also, when we went to religious services, he would catch the bus to religious services, but I would be his ride and make sure that he got back home on time, because I was off work at that time. And I used to go to Reborn quite frequently to visit with him, because he wasn't able to move around and, you know, and take him water and stuff because he couldn't go to the store and take water. So what happened with this change in itinerary is a lot of misconceptions often there, you know, misunderstandings about what happened. Because every time that he did have to change it, he made sure that he would call. I know this for a fact, because a lot of times I was the one that was transporting. Now he did, and sometimes, you know, might have got, you know, made a little bit too many moves and calling the parole officer, but every one of them was legitimate. He never tried to do anything shady, and I know this for a fact. So that's what I can, you know, bring to the board members and let you know. But I know for a fact that he was trying to comply and do everything that he possibly could, with the monitor that he had on. And then me and my brother, we used to make sure, you know, that, you know, he walked that tightrope, because we love that brother.
and we know him really well, and we understand what he was going through and how long he had been locked up. So we're trying to give him everything that we possibly could of moral support and being able to help him in any way we can. And that's basically what I have to tell you.
All right, thank you, sir. Let's see if the board has any questions. Okay, similar questions coming from the board. Also, I see that we have Yvonne Bolden.
Yeah.
Okay, and I know there's some other people. Is there anyone else here that wanted to speak on behalf of Mr. Allen?
Yeah, on that day that
please, we... Just a minute. Just say your full name. So.
Yvonne Bolden.
Okay.
Police.
All right.
Yeah, on the day that they were saying that he was violated, I think I have the same people you have over there. And he said that he had failed to contact him, which he had contact. He said that he called and he texted. All of his belongings that were taken from the halfway house, we didn't get his cell phone back. So I don't have the information that we would need to show that he did attempt to call and did attempt to text. When we went back to try and get the phone, the parole officer said that he wouldn't be able to give us his phone. So I don't know that why that would be. And I also have a map that shows Christown Mall of exactly where he was. I don't know if you want that or not.
I don't know.
While he was out, he did do good. Like I said, his itineraries, he would always take pictures of them, keep them in his phone. We never had an issue with that. Whenever we would have to give him rides, we would give him rides. When he first started catching the bus, he would always get turned around. Like, there would be times to where he's on the phone with my aunt and realizes that he got on the wrong bus. But then eventually he did pick up his bus routes and everything else to where he was going exactly where he was supposed to go.
Okay. Any questions on behalf of the board? Okay, thank you. So is there anyone else that want to speak on behalf of Mr. Allen?
Not this time. Yes, my name is Renee Bolden. I'm just here for support of my brother. Just hoping, you know, that he can come home and, you know, start over again. We do miss him. Just praying that he can come home. He's a good guy. We love him. And I believe if he is given a second chance, that he will make a difference, you know, when he comes home. Yes, sir, for support.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions? All right, Mr. Allen, we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into the discussion, sir?
All right, thank you very much. There is, excuse me, there is just one more thing I'd like to say. If you look at the program report, it'll show you that I wasn't being rebellious or defiant. You know, I made some mistakes, but they were honest mistakes. I wasn't out there doing anything wrong or anything nefarious. Every UA that they asked me to take, I took. I was negative for illegal substances. All the programming that they asked me to do at CHC and CAP, I completed all their programming and I was always participating. I made some mistakes about going to different stores, but they were all right there in Christown Mall. If it looked like I was running around trying to do anything else, I was trying to get the car insurance papers so that I could show the court that I really did have car insurance so that I could get a copy of my license. And that I wasn't trying to do anything other than know what was legal and what was legit. And I hope this honorable board take that into consideration. If you allow me another chance, I'll make sure that I have specific and clear and precise instructions and information from my parole officer that mistake will never happen again. Thank you.
Okay, sir. sir. So the board's gonna go into discussion, a lot of boards in discussion. I'm gonna ask you to remain on the line, to remain silent while the board's in discussion. While the board's in discussion, sir, we will make a determination whether to grant you home arrest, absolute discharge, or regular parole, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the board's now into discussion. This is a case I do know that, and take note that Mr. Allen has had clean UAs and hasn't had any drugs or alcohol, at least according to his UAs, since he was released on in 2017. He did have some prior releases too, where he did do a positive for marijuana, which he states he did do that, and two instances where he had a failure to provide a urine specimen. However, it does look like since he's been released, he has been out. I do want to say that I am familiar with the areas that he's actually talked about. There is an insurance company right there on Central and Rosier, just east of the McDonald's. It's right there. Do you have a green card with you there forever? That's sitting out there, so I give him the benefit of the doubt. I did ask him about where he went to on 3rd Avenue, because I wanted to know what he was doing downtown in the area of 3rd Avenue in Washington, and that is where the city court is actually located, is right there at 3rd Avenue in Washington, is where the city court is, right across from the City Hall Municipal Building. I am familiar with the Christown Mall, and actually, once you get inside the Christown Mall, you can actually walk, it's an inside mall, you can actually walk in that mall and walk all the way around to all of those stores. So I do believe that he was doing that. I had some concern when I first read it, because he had had the previous incidents when he had been previously released. I think that Mr. Allen did make some honest mistakes, but he has to understand and realize that his itinerary is his itinerary, and his PO told him that he'll make some changes and to give him a call. If he doesn't get a hold of his PO, then that means he doesn't have permission to change his itinerary to be involved. So I think Mr. Allen probably has learned this at this time, but I am willing to give Mr. Allen another chance and reinstate him on his home arrest, and with the same restrictions that he actually has, and that he has to confirm and stay with exactly what his PO is telling him that he needs to do. I think sometimes it sounds as though he may have gotten just a little bit over anxious and trying to get a job and go get all the stuff that he needed, but he didn't have permission from his PO to change up on his itinerary. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. That's what it does.
I agree with you, Mr. Johnson. I could consider returning him to home arrest. However, it would be with full understanding that can't happen again.
Yes.
The itinerary must be followed. And, you know, as you just said, if you can't get a hold of the parole officer, then you can't change the itinerary. So, thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Any more comments from the colleagues? Therefore, I'm going to make a motion to grant Mr. Rufus Allen home arrest with some, I'm looking at this sheet because it's a little bit different on doing the home arrest on here than it is the other sheet that we would actually have, but I would grant him home arrest, and let me just make that motion first, and then I'll go over the additional special conditions that we would put on. So my motion would be to grant Mr. Allen Wright home arrest with the same conditions, and along with some amended conditions. That would be my motion.
Second.
Agree. Motion by myself. Agree. Was that second, Mr. Neal?
Yes.
Okay. Agreed, Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed, Mr. Quinones, agreed, Dr. Wright, I didn't, Dr. Wright?
Yes.
Agreed, Dr. Wright. We're gonna grant him home arrest. That he, home arrest condition, he has to follow all mandatory DOC sanctions. No alcohol use, random tests of drugs and alcohol. I don't know about the may not operate a motor vehicle. If he's getting lost on the bus, I don't know if he's gonna make it around.
But he does have insurance.
Yeah, he does have insurance. I'm not gonna mark may not operate a motor vehicle.
I think it only went to the pure discretion, though.
Okay, I'm gonna make a note on that. Okay, I don't know if he has any restitution, but I'm gonna put must pay restitution. By institutional rules. Partake in any available program as directed. I'm gonna just mark it here up there that we must. Simply that he must follow all of the directives of his monitoring system, that he must monitor his itinerary, that he must monitor his itinerary. So that would be the motion to be the decision at this time. So, Mr. Allen?
Yes, sir.
So I'm gonna tell you, this board is going out to give you an opportunity to get your life together.
Yes, sir.
You stated when you first started talking that your PO had given you some opportunities to change your itinerary. And you said the exact right thing, that your itinerary was changed with the approval of your parole officer. If you don't contact or notify your parole officer, if your parole officer is not available, that means you stick to the itinerary that you actually have.
Yes, sir. I will absolutely not move until then.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The other part of it is, sir, that monitoring system you have is very direct. It will tell every single location that you've actually gone to. So,
yes, sir.
You know, you were in Christown Mall. If you say that you're going to Target, you go to Target and no other store, don't go in any other store, don't stop. But whatever's on your itinerary, sir, that is exactly what you have to do. Do not deviate from it. If your itinerary says this is where you're supposed to go, if you get off that bus in front of Jack in the Box and you have not asked to go to that Jack in the Box, you keep walking.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand?
Absolutely. I understand that.
All right, so we are giving you the benefit of the doubt and going with the opportunity, but I cannot express enough to you that if you come in here again with a violation of not doing what you're supposed to do and taking it for granted. So it could be very serious, and you could be and have your understanding, and what you have to understand is you're serving a life sentence. And
yes, sir.
If you come back in here, you could go back to prison for the rest of your life. So that's how important it is for you to do exactly as you're told, okay?
Yes, sir. I understand.
All right, so that's going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Allen. I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for participating in your hearing today. We want to wish you the best of luck, sir, once you get out. And hopefully, sir, you won't have to come back before this board or have any negative contacts. You will be back before this board in about 6 months. You'll be certified to come back before this board to see, so that we can see what monitor, what your conditions are, what you've been doing, so hopefully it won't be for a revocation, okay?
All right, thank you very much. I really appreciate, thank this entire honorable board for giving me another opportunity. Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right.
Please put the 203 back on the phone, sir.